One, two, three. Good morning, Tucson, and welcome to the Creative City Show here on 1030 The Voice. With me, your host, Zach Yensers. Every day, Monday through Friday, we talk about the people and ideas shaping Tucson's future, because I believe we live in a moment where the decisions we make in the next 3 to 5 years, or 5 to 10, if we're going to be a little bit generous, let's be generous, 5 to 10 years in Tucson will shape the next 50. And to do that, we try to have conversations with people about ideas that are creating Tucson's future, thus the Creative City Show. And today, Tucson, just to kick it off, it is you and I in studio today. We often have a day or two a week where it's just you and I in the studio with a wide open hour for you to be a guest on our program. 790-2040 is our special Tuesday Why I Love Where I Live live line. We're thankful to our sponsors, Why I Love Where I Live, for supporting the opportunity on Tuesdays especially to have a live community conversation in real time about people and ideas creating Tucson's future. So give me a call as we get going. 790-2040. What is on your mind today? Let's have a conversation. I've got a couple things to talk with you about. A national publication did an overview of the Tucson mayoral race around a few key issues. So we'll highlight that. And then I am going to talk a little bit about how cities are often an unnoticed engine of economic growth, community development, and why that's important, and my observations from traveling to and being in other cities around the country, that some of the challenges that we try to solve as even our local community of Tucson requires an economic engine to get there. I know that sounds like, well, duh, yeah, that's not a new revelation, but I want to get into and explain why that becomes really clear the more you dig into the issues, and we'll go from there. I'm really excited about how this week is shaping up. You know, we try to do a combination of things on the show. We try to set some key conversations monthly that we can get updates on. One is, for example, my friend Louis Christensen, right? He calls in about once a month. We talk about an issue from his angle. Leah Marquez Peterson, our Southern Arizona representative on the Arizona Corporation Commission. We try to book that once a month or so. We also try to leave room for some of the live conversations and topics that come up. So, for example, the Arizona Daily Star editorial board did an endorsement of all the four for all the four open seats competitive seats on the city council, mayor and three council members, and gave their recommendations and why they gave the recommendations. I don't know about you, but I've seen a lot on my social media of comments of why, and why was that written, and what was the logic there. And so guess what? On Thursday, I reached out to Sarah Garrett Gasson from the Arizona Daily Star to come on for an hour on Thursday and to talk through with me kind of some of their thought process. And I've got some questions, and what were your thoughts there? And I was confused by this. So we're going to have that conversation on Thursday. Tomorrow, I have the two co-chairs of the No On 205 campaign. My goal is to have a No On conversation and then a final Yes On 205 interview, because I want to have two yeses and two noes. I want to have that final conversation before the ballots really drop and start getting filled in here as we close in on the early November general election, where we're going to elect four council members, either again or for the first time. Three for the first time in their positions, and Paul Cunningham is running for re-election over in Ward 2. So going to that's where we're going. So it's a lot of fun here. We try to make room for all of that. So call in with your thoughts, your questions, your concerns, what's on your mind as we talk Tucson today on this Tuesday, our Why I Love Where I Live live line, 790-2040. So smart cities die. They look at a few issues, and there are 14 cities that they are looking at who are having mayoral elections, and Tucson is one of them. Everyone from Boise, Idaho, to Columbus, Ohio, to Raleigh, North Carolina, and even San Francisco are having mayoral races that this publication is looking at. And they looked at a few key areas, and I just thought I would give a review and some of my thoughts and get yours as we go. This will spill over into the next segment, so don't worry. But they look at, because it's a smart cities, a smart cities publication, they look at a few issues. They look at environment, housing, transportation, and water. Don't worry, I'll get to other issues that aren't listed. But here's how they've synthesized the mayoral position. So let's get started with one, and we'll wrap up in the next segment and take your calls along the way. Environment. Ed Ackerley plans to solve pothole and recycling issues with an all-in-one solution to fill potholes with recycled plastics into asphalt. And so that was what they pulled from his platform regarding the environment. Mike Cease, the Green candidate, Cease proposes enacting the Green New Deal and creating a municipal bank to give loans to businesses and homeowners based on future energy savings. Rahina Romero proposes a path to carbon neutrality by 2050. She wants to plant 1 million trees across the city by 2030 and build an equitable green infrastructure to harvest stormwater and reduce the urban heat island effect. So that's how it's called, Smart Cities, if you want to look this up yourself. They review 14 cities, all the mayoral candidates and their positions on some of these key issues. It was kind of fun to see Tucson in this list. I had someone send this to me. So that's kind of the position. I'll give my commentary in a minute. Housing. Ed Ackerley, more than 18,000 families are on the waiting list for Section 8 housing, according to Ackerley. He proposes streamlining landlord participation and repurposing buildings for people experiencing homelessness. Cease supports strong renter and tenant rights, rent control, funding for publicly built affordable housing, strengthening of the Fair Housing Act, and more. And Romero plans to implement a housing first model. A few aspects of that plan include supporting efforts for additional funds dedicated to affordable elderly housing and home repair programs, developing programs that address chronic and second wave homelessness, and hiring a housing first director. I want to land on this one for a minute before we go to our break and take your phone calls. I actually think, rather than comparing the platforms, my personal opinion is that on the housing side, I think actually at least one or two of each of the items of each of the candidates is actually needed to be looked at in Tucson. So that was an interesting one to me because I didn't read it and I felt like, well, this one is missing a lot and this one kind of hits the mark. I felt like all three actually, you know, had some issues that need to be looked at in Tucson. I think in Tucson, we deal with three issues. We deal with the affordability issue, what I call the right to enter or the right to return. And what I mean by that is if you are making less than $80,000 in Tucson right now, do you have access to the housing you want in the neighborhood you want? And I think for a majority of people, that is a hard place to get to. Then I talk about displacement, which is the right to remain. Tucson and Phoenix struggle with evictions. Ed Ackerley is correct that Section 8 housing is not utilized to the degree that it can be in Tucson. He's absolutely correct. to focus on that issue and elderly housing. We have a rapidly aging population in Tucson and one that isn't necessarily getting any younger. So the ability for seniors to stay in their homes is actually an issue that we have to look at in Tucson. And we do need more affordable housing units built. So just a few of my comments there. If you called, give us about 2 minutes. We'll be right back after our first break. We'll take your calls and keep going. We're reviewing how the national press is looking at our mayoral election here in Tucson. You're getting my commentary and more as we talk Tucson together here on 1030 The Voice. We'll be right back. Tucson, welcome back to the program. Eyes are on Tucson as we wind down our mayoral election and head towards the election day in early November. Groups around the nation are watching ours and other mayoral races, and I am reviewing here today on the show one publication's review and giving my thoughts. Along the way, we're talking to you on our Why I Love Where I Live live line today. Chris called 520-790-2040 to jump on with us. Chris, thanks for calling in today. What's on your mind? You're on.
Good morning, Zach. I had a question concerning when you're going to have the pro and against 205 people.
Yes.
Why are you just having a strictly either a yes or no show? Why don't you have both on together and have a kind of a robust debate about it?
Do you
see my point? If you just have the yes or the no, the other people are going to tune out.
It's a like good.
If you have the yes people on, the no people are going to be, nope, we're not going to listen, and vice versa. If you have both on simultaneously, it would actually even be good for your ratings, too. That's another benefit. But do you see my point?
I do. Yeah. And Chris, I appreciate it. I'll definitely consider it for maybe later in the month. I've watched the debates between the two not be productive in my mind, but in the end, in many ways, I actually follow your lead as the live listening audience on this stuff. So let me work on that. I appreciate the thought.
Okay, Zach, and good show, and appreciate the fact that you're forward looking for Tucson. We need more of that.
Chris, I really appreciate that. That means a lot. That's the niche that I feel like I'm filling here in Tucson is a forward look. So I appreciate that you appreciate it.
Okay, bud.
All right, thank you, sir. It's that would be interesting. I have the no on campaign tomorrow. Maybe I'll just text them and see if they're down to see if the yes can come on. That would be interesting. I think I don't know. Chris gave me a good thought. Call in 790-2040 if that's something that you'd like to see Tucson. Give me a call. I'm happy to make it happen if there's the demand for it. 790-2040 is our Why I Love Where I Live live line. So I want to land on transportation. This was something that was reviewed nationally of the mayoral campaigns. Ed Ackerley plans to synchronize pedestrian crosswalks and the city's almost 600 traffic lights to improve traffic flow and reduce congestion. Yes, 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 yes. I mean, I remember this most clearly from Randy Dorman's campaign. She was a Democrat running in that primary. She was one of three Democrats. And adaptive signaling is the technical term for this, where if you've wondered why, for example, if you're driving from Oro Valley into Tucson, for example, do you wonder why every time you get to a light, you're stopped? There's a reason for that. And there's a lot of kind of cleaning up that our transportation system can do through data. They're actually working, our transportation department, at least in Tucson, is working with the University of Arizona on some of their data work to basically make our street signaling a lot smarter. So what happens right now, as I understand it, is when you are driving, kind of the load on the road basically gets dispatched to a central office that manages the lights. And so it's almost a reactive type of model where you're reacting to the load. A smarter kind of syncing up, if you will, the traffic lights the adaptive signaling actually does that in real time is the goal. So that as you're sensing greater flow before it happens, or you're seeing it as it happens, you can get ahead of the problem instead of reacting to it. And I talk to so many people who come from out of the city, who live here, came here for a job, and they go, why does it take me 45 minutes to get from Oro Valley to Tucson during slightly busy times? And why isn't there better syncing up of traffic lights? It sounds simple and straightforward, and that's because it is, and it needs to happen. And so I'm a fan of that. I'm sure Ed's full platform on transportation is a lot more thick. I think there's more that needs to be done than just that one thing. But this is what a national publication pulled out of his platform. Mike C. supports transportation. He's the Green Candidate. Initiatives that cater to equity and people over cars, in addition to the efficient use of lanes and curbs, autonomous vehicles that are operated in fleets, and ultimately a zero emission future. You guys know me, I like the moonshot idea, but I like the moonshot ideas when there's actually tangible tomorrow solutions. And I fear with some of these moonshot plans and ideas, you don't get the immediate impact. These are big things. There's things that we need to focus on right now. Regina Romero plans to transition city vehicle and bus fleets to 90% electric by 2032. She also aims to reduce single occupancy vehicle commuters to 50%, down from the current rate of 76.5% by 2035. The thing that stood out to me about this, and I wanted to talk about this a little bit later, but I'll jump into it now, is what's interesting to me is that so I'll give you an example. Before we go to your calls, if you're calling in, we're tracking that, and we'll jump to you in just a second. But for example, and this is just an example, right? I'm not saying this because I want to talk about the precise topic, but just an example. And you may have heard me mention this before. I was in Austin a couple weeks ago, and Austin has a housing affordability problem. They want to build more housing affordability. So Austin, because it has University of Texas, because it has big corporations, because it has a thriving economy, they're able to go to the voters, for example, and say, let's pass a $250 million bond to focus on using public, you know, tax dollars for the purpose of solving affordable housing. And they can go to the voters pretty consistently and get what they need and what they want, because the voters are confident enough in the economy and the ability to pump out more of those dollars to solve big problems. It's kind of this weird anomaly that I'm starting to see, is growing economically, growing as a community, creates some pretty significant problems, but those are problems that you have a better chance of solving because you have the economic engine with which to solve it. And I think this is my growing concern in Tucson, and is that we've got some of these either moonshot or ideal type goals. We don't have the economic engine by which to make it happen. And I think we have to prioritize one before the other. Not one over the other in many cases, but one before the other. And I don't know if we're having that full conversation in Tucson yet. What do you think? 790-2040 is our Why I Love Where I Live live line. Marty called it with a comment about traffic lights. Marty, you're live. Thanks for calling in.
Well, you're welcome. I think there's a lot of confusion with the traffic lights. I notice it, not so much for me, but I notice it in other people. At some intersections, the lights start the left turn cycle at the beginning of the cycle.
Yes.
And then others, they start it, you know, they should just go with the national thing, like the beginning of the cycle, because people don't know what to do. And I've seen people pull right out thinking they're going to do this, and the lights tell them to do something else, see?
Yep. Well, Marty, I'm glad you called, because I feel less stupid now, because I can't tell you how many times I've gone, wait a second, I was supposed to get a green light. What happened to my green light?
I know. And some intersections, and, you know, we're dealing with a situation here. Most of these intersections, if you take a look at them, look at First and River. You know, at almost any given time, there's 30 cars in the middle of that damn intersection down there. These intersections are so big, and there's so much going on within them, you really got to keep an eye on what you're doing. You know, they've increased the size of all of this stuff to move traffic faster. I understand what all this is about. but it's created a lot of situations that you know, I don't think are real safe.
Yep. Nope, Marty, I agree. Hey, what do you think about those Michigan intersections? I forget the exact term, but it's where you have to go through it and then up and around to go back. Do you know what I mean? Like Oracle and Ina as an example. What do you think about those?
They work.
They do.
I hate to say it. Yeah. You know, they're kind of goofy, but I do think that they help. I really do. You know, I hate to say it because yep. it's kind of a goofy situation, yep. but what do you think?
That's my answer too, Marty. I asked Diana Alarcon from the city when I had her last on. She heads up the Department of Transportation. I asked her about it, and she basically said verbatim what you just said. She goes, Zach, I don't know what to tell you. They work.
Yeah. Hey, Zach, also I like the idea of clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am in the middle with you.
Marty, I appreciate you calling in. Thank you so much.
Okay, buddy. Have a good day.
You as well, sir. Marty called 520-790-2040. It's our special Why I Love Where I Live live line. They are a social media movement and now a retail location on the west side of the 10, helping Tucsonans maybe find a new appreciation for where they live and be a tourist in their own city. It's a growing movement. Tucson has so much to explore within itself, and Why I Love Where I Live is one of a few organizations in town helping people do that. You know, as cheesy as it sounds, but it's not to me, but one of the founders of Why I Love Where I Live actually was roiled to live in Tucson. It was not the place she wanted to be. Someone encouraged her to figure out, hey, amidst all the stuff we still got to solve, and you should be a part of solving it, what do you love about where you live? What do you appreciate? And that changed her world and her mind forever. She started Why I Love Where I Live, and they support this show, and I'm glad they do. When we come back, we'll talk water and much more. We're just halfway through Tucson. We'll see you back after bottom of the hour news. Tucson, welcome back to the program here. You're listening to the Creative City Show with your host, Zach Yenser, where we talk about people and ideas creating Tucson's future, thus the Creative City Show. A caller called in the last segment, noticing that a goal of this show is to have a future forward look at what conversations we have to have, what do we need to do to create the city that I think we all see we have the potential to be, and I appreciate that because that is the goal of this show. By the way, I just want to share that while we were in break, a listener messaged in. If you'd rather not call in, by the way, let me just cut in there and say thecreativecityshow@gmail.com is a way that you can get a hold of me during the program as well. If you would like to, instead of getting on the line or talking to the kind people here producing the show, which you should do that. It's always better to call in and share. But if you'd rather just message in, thecreativecityshow@gmail.com is a way that you can send in a thought. I had a listener message and I thought this was kind of humorous. They agreed with Marty. Marty, if you're still listening, people are messaging in and saying, Marty's on it. The yellow left turn arrows are causing confusion. At least once a week, someone turns in front of me. They don't realize that I have a green arrow and therefore the right of way. So this is a problem. Maybe we need to sync up. Also, I got a message in. The Michigan left turns do work because people avoid them like I do. I bet I'm going to get a few more messages saying, yes, that listener has it. They work because I don't go there. I don't know what to say. Like Marty, hate to say it. They work. There's two that I can think of. If you know of more, for the funsies of it, give me a call in on our Why I Love Where I Live live line, 790-2040. There's one at Stone and Grant, and that one actually incorporates a cycling lane as well, which is kind of an added complication there. Not that I'm disapproving, just, you know. And then it's McGee and La Cholla. There, if you are on La Cholla and you want to go west on McGee/Cortero, I know it's confusing. It is confusing. Then you have to do kind of the like a loop-de-loop. So it's not really a Michigan left turn, but it's a loop-de-loop. I didn't plan to talk about this in the technical terms. I should do my homework. And then Ina and Oracle, right, is the other Michigan left turn that I can think of. If you can think of any others or you know of one that's going to go in, give us a call, 790-2040. All that. I'm also throughout the show getting a lot of good feedback on some of the things that we've mentioned by messaging. I just want you to know, Tucson, when you call, when you message, when you email, I get those, I respond to those, and more often than I think a lot of people realize, it becomes shows and content and conversations. So when you recommend something, I take it seriously. In my mind, you're as much a part of curating this program as I am. So I appreciate each and every one of you. 790-2040 is your opportunity to call our live line today and engage. Let's wrap up with water. This show, I've been doing a look in from the outside. As many of you know, our mayoral election is getting some national looking in on. One publication, Smart Cities, did an overview of the two or three candidates, depending on what they have in their platform, positions on a few key issues, including environment, housing, transportation, and water. That's the nature of their publication, to look at those couple issues. I thought it was cool that they were looking at Tucson. I wanted to share what they were pulling out of what they're reading about and give my commentary and get your thoughts as well. So finally, water. They didn't find anything in the Green candidates platform about water. Mike Cease, of course, is running as the Green candidate. There are three candidates running for mayor. There was a Republican for about 2 weeks, Albert Pesquiera, and he was running as a write-in Republican and decided to pull out of the race. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, endorsed Ed Ackerley and encouraged any of his supporters to support Ed Ackerley. So there was a Republican for a hot minute, but we're back to the three that are on the ballot. So Ackerley calls water the liquid gold of the desert. Can't disagree. Is a key platform for Ackerley. His plans include replacing 4,600 buried water lines, addressing the increased demand for water with incentives like low flow toilets, rainwater harvesting, and consumption reduction. Rahina Romero aims to continue Tucson's water conservation programs, reduce the city's water use of 50 gallons per person per day by 2035, install solar panels on Tucson water facilities, and expand water recharge programs like the Santa Cruz River Heritage Program. The reason I am sensitive to the water issue, as I'm sure many of you are as well, is that Tucson actually had plenty of water back in up to the 30s and 40s. Tucson expanded rapidly from the 40s on. I think we can thank the air conditioner for that. If the air conditioner hadn't been invented, I'm not sure Tucson would look like what Tucson looks like today. But if you look at Tucson's population growth graph and you look at the invention of the air conditioner, the two are parallel. It's pretty fascinating. I think it changed the game here in Tucson, for better or for worse. Also, probably the end of a world war and a lot of the movement that came from that. But we had a significant water supply in the 40s until urban sprawl, until we grew as a community outwards and in numbers. Our water table dropped dramatically. And the Santa Cruz, right, used to flow up through the 80s, even through 1980s. You can see pictures of kids in the 60s and 70s boating down the thing right by A Mountain. I mean, it was flowing water. As we used up our water resources, as the water table shrunk, we lost our water. The Santa Cruz River Heritage Project is actually kind of a really nifty legislative workaround to start building that table up again. So yes, on the surface, it looks like a little bit of a kind of muddy collection of some water. But we were never sold a flowing lake, right? We were sold a trickle. We got a trickle. It's really more about building up our water table. I think that's a good program. I think any conservation and responsible use of water is a good thing, including rainwater harvesting and consumption reduction. I know I have a lot of good conversations with many of you on the air about how does our population growth fit in with our water challenges. I think we got to be thinking about it. My personal opinion is that Tucson has never predicted its population growth, and it's always been greater than we expected. So I think we have to plan for the state's high-end estimate. The state of Arizona did a high-end estimate that we will grow to 1.5 million people in the metro area by 2055. We're at about 1.1, so that's roughly a 50% increase by 2055. I don't think you can regulate inflow or outflow of people. Arizona is the fastest growing state in the country right now in terms of population. I don't see that tide turning. Maybe it's the pragmatist. I don't know how you turn that off, so to speak, but I think water fits into it. We have to be thinking smart about water. So I think these are some common sense policies. Both candidates, if I'm going to be honest, are common sense policies that require a second look. I want to repeat, if you didn't catch this in the segment before this, I don't agree always with Christy Simone, our friend here on the station. But one thing that he said a month or two ago, I think has a lot of weight to it. And he said in Tucson, and this is actually a city's problem, by the way, is that we focus on the sprinkles without making sure that the ice cream is in the cone in the first place, right? Before any of these things work, in my mind, you need to have safe neighborhoods, good infrastructure, public services that work, and a thriving economy. If you don't have those at least four things, you don't get to these goals as fast or as well. And I don't know what to make of the situation that over the last 50 years in the average American city, the greater it has grown economically, the greater its problems and the greater inequality. It's kind of this weird graph. It's what the data shows. I don't know what else to say. However, I believe that we can look at issues of housing. We can look at issues of water. We can look at troubling issues that happen because of growth, and we can solve them intentionally, but we need the resources to do it. So I think Tucson's in that interesting place where we can look at cities that are 10, 15 years ahead and say, okay, we know what the end result looks like. We can be more intentional about keeping the end in mind because most cities don't. Most cities grow. They take what they can get. They don't plan. They wake up and go, oh, we got problems, right? So Tucson can avoid that. But to do it, we need to have those four essentials. And so I just want to be clear. These are four issues this publication wanted to highlight about our mayoral candidates. But that is not to say that that's my list or it's ordered or it's a priority list. I think we got to get the city charter stuff on point and figured out, and the rest will follow. I actually think Tucson is in a prime place right now. I do this show because I think that the last 15 or 20 years that have kicked Tucson's butt actually have the opportunity to put us in a good position if we take it, because our poverty has preserved us. We are now in a position with an economy that Mayor Rothschild will leave in the black for the first time in a long time to build on that foundation and say, how do we become a model city that can look at the rest of the community 15 years ahead of us and say, we're going to solve that problem before it happens, and we're going to do it because we have a thriving economy, good roads, good parks, safe neighborhoods, public services that work. That's the formula. I think it's pretty straightforward. I don't think we get to the vision of our future, though. I don't think we get there unless we have those things in place. So that's why I'm optimistic about Tucson. Not because I'm naive and stupid and don't know what I'm talking about, but because our poverty has preserved us. We're in a moment where we can make some really great decisions about some really big things if we've got the right leadership, having the right conversations with the right people and ideas. I try to put that formula out on the air, and reviewing what other publications around the country are saying about our mayoral election spurred those themes for me. So I hope that that review was valuable. Of course, all these candidates have websites. You can read their platform. As far as Ackerley and Romero go, I have interviews scheduled with them for later in the month. So Ed Ackerley will be on Friday the 18th. So not this Friday, but next Friday. And Regina Romero as I just had to reschedule her, but she is going to be on, put this in your calendars, she will be on the week of the 21st. I have her on Wednesday, the 23rd. For the back half of the hour. So if there's anything you want me to specifically ask these candidates, if there's an issue you want me to dig into a little bit, let me know and I'll make a note and ask them while I have them in studio. When we come back, I keep talking about we need to not just manage the economic pie we have, but what does it take to grow a city's economic pie? And why don't we talk about it more? That's how I'll wrap up the show. Some thoughts and I'll get yours on our Why I Love Where I Live live line, 790-2040. We've got a few minutes left. Let's do it, Tucson. We'll be right back after the break. Tucson, welcome back to the program. I got to tell you, it is just an absolute pleasure to do this with you every day. And I mean that 100% of the way. This opportunity to have live local conversation about issues that matter to you and me is just so valuable. It's why I personally do the Creative City Show on live local radio, because there's not another medium of communication that does in the way that it does it like local radio. So thank you for the opportunity to do this. And I say that because over the last segment in the break, I had another listener message in and share, for example, that they know about four Michigan left turns that are going to be in place down Grant. There are three already at Oracle, at Stone and First, and so there will be four total down Grant. So just saying, just love having listeners messaging and fact-checking and cross-checking and saying, hey, this is what I'm hearing. It just makes for a rich conversation. So keep doing it, Tucson. TheCreativeCityShow@gmail.com is one way you can message in, or you can give John a call who produces our show. Thank you, John. 790-2040. You can either jump on the air with me or you can just leave a message for John, and John gets that to me during the show as well. So many ways to share what is on your mind. Our Why I Love Where I Live live line is 790-2040. Today, we thank you to our sponsors for that live line. Give us a call. So I saw this interesting article. Want the economy to grow? It's time to look at cities and efficiency. And so I bring this up because at a national level, as this article points out, on the Republican side, the common answer is to reduce taxes. On the Democratic side, one response is to increase taxes on the wealthy with the mechanism sometimes needing explanation or demonstration. The reality, and this is where I line up at a local level, is rather more daunting, and the answers could lie in place few politicians discuss explicitly, and that is cities. So I felt this for a while without being able to put words to it, that the way that we talk about economic opportunity, economic expansion, is dictated by state and federal narrative, and that the ways we talk about it at a broader level don't always work in totality at a local level, at a city level. And I've been privileged to sit down with the city council candidates the last year and mayoral candidates the last year and really dig into, when they look at the city budget, right, what are some places that they're looking to reallocate? You know, maybe they can move $10 million from here or $20 million from there. But my bigger question has always been, what is your formula for broadening the pie? Well, if you have eight slices of pie, and I'm going to go a really dumb metaphor here. You have eight slices of pie. One part of the conversation is how do you move those eight pieces around? But I want to know, how are you going to make a 10-piece pie or a 15-piece pie? And I'm not sure that I've been happy. It's not a criticism necessarily. I just don't feel like I walked away from an interview yet feeling like, man, person ABC, candidate XYZ, primary person this, general person this, I'm not sure that I feel like I've gotten a good answer that has math behind it of how you grow an economy. Now, people will listen and will either think that I'm not, you know, pro-market enough or not market suspicious enough. And I'm really down the middle. Like I said, at a city level, we don't get to pay for the stuff we want if we don't have some level of economic thriving. And I don't think that we've figured out the formula here in Tucson. Yes, there is a tax component. There is a business component. I'm there. Don't worry. But I think it's a little bit more complex. So I'm looking into this. If you have ideas, you have thoughts, you have suggestions, 790-2040 is our Why I Love Where I Live Lifeline. But at a city level, some things that we have to be thinking about, which I think is interesting. It is to me. When I talk about denser cities, I've heard on the air, and it's a valuable comment because I think it comes from how we've designed and thought about cities, that density equals poverty. That doesn't line up mathematically. It just doesn't. It turns out that when cities are more dense and are more focused on not going out, but on going up appropriately, right? Tucson should never look like Chicago's skyline. Nobody I know advocates for that. But six stories is not a tower on the same note. Six stories is not a tower. Taking what we have, the assets we have, and building appropriately on that is important because then you can bring in better transportation. And when you can get more people in an area where they are working, where they are living, where they are playing, when you can get transportation to be working more effectively, you have greater productivity, which broadens the economic pie. So I've got 4 minutes. I can't dive in fully, but I think we have to have a richer conversation at a local level about what grows our 8-piece pie to a 10-piece pie. When I look at platforms about transportation, for example, like we just did this hour, in my mind, we can't just look at solving transportation on its own. We can build the most beautiful streetcar. We can have the most greatest electric buses. It doesn't matter. They're going to be empty if we don't have density. So we need to make a decision. Either we are focused on focusing on dense, productive areas that are surrounding industry, or we don't. But we can't have our cake and eat it too in this case. But if we get that mix right between transportation, density, housing, around where people work, that seems to be a little bit of the secret sauce as our cities get bigger and bigger and bigger. And ladies and gentlemen, our cities are not going to get smaller. They're only going to get bigger. 2050 is coming quick. 70% of the world's population will live in an urban core, will live in a city. That's where we're headed. So that is an element. A single government authority is something that we don't talk about enough. I think, again, I'm only saying her name because it popped up in her platform, right? Randy Dorman talked about regional collaboration and government authorities, if I'm remembering correctly, in her campaign. I think she was onto something. When you have a metro region with many municipal governments, you have 6% lower productivity. Every time I think I can do this, John, in 8 or 10 minutes, I am sorely disappointed in myself. This might be a conversation for another day. Efficient land use and transportation systems, right? We already mentioned transportation's land use is important. My friends, the U.S. has lost out on about 30% of its GDP capability by not having enough housing around its high productivity areas. So you look at San Francisco and New York City, for example, right? They proposed really tight urban growth limits. They didn't put up enough housing. Their workers couldn't locate where they needed to. And we've lost out on about what amounts to 30% of our gross domestic product since the 1960s. We lose out when we're not looking at the whole system, right? Going back to just talk about tax increases or tax decreases and business friendliness, those are pieces of growing that pie. Those are conversations we have to have, but not the whole thing. We don't talk about the whole thing at a city level. So I'm going to stop there because we got about a minute and a half. But if I had to summarize the last hour and the conversations that we've gotten to have, the beauty of a city is that we get to have, and we should have, 1 foot in the pothole and 1 foot on the moon, right? We have to be thinking about the big ideas and solving the issues of the day at the same time. My theory is you got to do both. But you don't get to do the moonshot ideas until you get the pothole filled. And I don't just mean the literal pothole, although I do. I mean the whole, you know, safe neighborhoods, good infrastructure, an economy that works, and whatever the fourth thing is that I said. I should actually make that list and keep it with me. But we get to have our foot on the moon when we have, you know, the foot that's in the pothole out of the pothole. So that is my thought, Tucson. The Creative City Show at gmail.com is where you can continue this conversation. Our Facebook page is The Creative City Show. And of course, you can listen back to all of our shows on in podcast format, iTunes, Google Play Music, kvoi.com/podcasts. Do what I did this morning, cleaning the kitchen early. Binge on podcasts. I do it. If you do it on my show, I will love you forever. This has been the Creative City Show with me, your host, Zach Yenser, talking about people and ideas creating Tucson's future. Our best is ahead if we decide to move in that direction. It's always a big if. Let's do it. We'll be back tomorrow. Looks like 205 is on the agenda. See you tomorrow, Tucson, 9 o'clock. Signing off.